Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This is one of the better games the Red Sox have played all the way around in some time. And a fly ball to right field, it should end it, and that will do it. The Red Sox win it 6-2. They get off to a very nice start in this series.
Good win for the Red Sox last night at Fenway Park, Jim Murray. Good win. I know I don't say that often, but I just want to acknowledge it because I do. I believe it was a good win by the Red Sox. Doug Fister on the mound, 6-2 winners over the Cleveland Indians after losing a heartbreaker the day before to the Kansas City Royals at Fenway Park. Meltdown in the eighth inning. Matt Barnes on the mound. Red Sox lose that game on Sunday. They come back out last night, and it felt bad, right? Felt bad. Doug Fister on the mound. Pedroia out of the lineup again. Eduardo Nunez was the number three hitter in the lineup. Look, I don't mean that as any indictment on Eduardo Nunez. I'm just telling you, when he's your number three hitter, that's a sign that you have a pop gun attack. That's what you have. And the Red Sox scored early. They scored often. They got 7-plus out of Doug Fister, who took a shutout into the eighth before giving up a two-run home run. They win the game 6-2. Dare I say an important victory. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the program. We'll open up the phone lines right away. I want to get to a bunch of things here in the early part of the show, but let me just say again, the reason I think that was an important win for the Red Sox last night has nothing to do with the trade deadline, has nothing to do with the Yankees, with the race, with anything. I just look at it as bad loss on Sunday. Fister's on the mound the next night. You have another good team in here. I looked at that game and I said loss. Loss. And they went out and won. And the most important part of the whole thing, Chris Sale goes tonight. So now you have a chance to win two in a row and three out of four. Winning those games on the night before Sale pitches now, huge. It really is. It is huge for the Red Sox. So we'll take your thoughts on anything and everything regarding pertaining to this team as we head into the final 2 months of the season now. Pennant race time is what you have here in the major leagues. And again, there are a number of things I want to get to. First of all, there was a little news concerning the team today. First, Dustin Pedroia placed on the 10-day disabled list with a sore knee. And I'm going to ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, we're going to sort of have to do this on the fly because naturally I forgot to tell him before we came on the air here. But with regard to Dustin Pedroia, Jimmy, we're looking for Farrell pregame number two. Number two, and this is Farrell talking about Dustin Pedroia placed on the 10-day DL. And before we play the sound for you, I'll just tell you that Pedroia's spot on the roster has been assumed by Addison Reed, whom the Red Sox acquired via trade from the Mets yesterday. Okay, so Pedroia's out. The Red Sox at the moment have a three-man bench. They're going with 13 pitchers. Reed is on the roster. Pedroia's on the DL. And the news on Pedroia, if you listen to John Farrell, does not sound great.
He's dealt with quite a bit of pain. For all of us that know Petey, he's going to find a way. And I can't say that when he comes back, he'll be pain-free. But the way the volume of play got to the point and how he was irritated, felt like this was the best move at the moment. Continue to work at the treatment. Continue to give him some idle time to put him in a best position to make the stretch run from here on out.
Okay, now look, in the case of Pedroia, they're saying that they think he can be back for the series against Tampa Bay next week. Tampa series would be, I think, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't remember if they have Monday off or not, but Pedroia is not eligible until then anyway. And so there's a chance that they're shooting for that series. We'll see how it goes. But again, at least we know now part of the reason why they wanted the versatility of Eduardo Nunez at that trade deadline. Nunez has played three straight games at second base. He's given the Red Sox some offense. He's given them some speed. He stole his 20th base last night. So far, so good in Eduardo Nunez.
Tampa is on Tuesday, Tony, a two-game series in Tampa, Tuesday and Wednesday next week.
Okay, so they're off Monday of next week.
Yep.
Okay.
They're off Monday and Thursday of next week.
Okay, so two off days next week for the Red Sox. Second, David Price, at the risk of getting back into this story. David Price was actually on the field today playing catch before the game. Here was Farrell's assessment of Price.
25 throws at 60 feet. Would look to maybe increase the distance of that tomorrow, but this will be a gradual building back out to tolerance, but felt good enough today to put a ball back in his hand. So an encouraging day.
Okay, so now look, this brings me back to the whole decision to put Price on the disabled list on Friday. I already know how Jim Murray feels about it. He wonders if maybe this was some sort of punishment, some sort of de facto suspension for the whole Dennis Eckersley incident on top of it all. I think the Red Sox are protecting Price. I think the idea of having him go out to the mound and hear it from the home crowd, given the brittle nature of this guy's psyche, inspired them to say, you know what, we're going to put him on the DL. He's got a little inflammation in his elbow. We're going to put him on the disabled list, and we're going to avoid the whole 10-game homestand altogether.
It was an easy out for them, but he was healthy enough to pitch last Friday night.
So I think the same thing, Murray. I think he was healthy enough to pitch. So the question isn't whether he's hurt. He probably is. He's been hurt all year to some degree. I mean, there's some sort of damage in his elbow. Okay, there's something going on there. But they could have sent him out to the mound a couple of days later. He could have skipped a turn and then, you know, made his next one. There's any one of a million ways to do that. He could have skipped Friday and, because of the off day, could have jumped back in on Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever it is. Okay,
that 10-day DL was retroactive, so there's a chance he could be able to pitch in this final series of this homestand against the White Sox on Friday.
Okay, you sure it was retroactive?
It was retroactive, yeah.
Okay. Because I when I first heard it, I thought that it wasn't retroactive. But in any case, I'll take your word for it.
The White Sox with like a triple-A lineup.
Okay, but even so, I don't think they're going to send him out to the mound.
No,
at Fenway.
Neither do I.
I think that this whole thing is a cover.
Tony, in the Red Sox release, it says retroactive to July 29th.
Okay, so there you go. You guys are to the 29th.
July 29th.
Which is Friday night. Right, so Friday night. So it wasn't retroactive to his prior start. So it starts on the 29th, which means he misses the whole homestand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Pedroia.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. So in the case of Price, in any case, I don't think he's going to pitch on the homestand. Now, I have some specific thoughts with some of those things, some things from the game last night. Eduardo Nunez, a little bit. Rafael Devers, certainly. I have a scouting report for you on Addison Reed, who is now in uniform and will be in the bullpen tonight. And I want to get to a guy on the Red Sox who has not performed, that nobody is really talking about, and has been a problem. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show, but we'll start with your phones here right out of the gate. Again, 617-779-0985. Chris is in Westbrook, Maine. Chris, what do you got?
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Good.
Good. You guys were alluding to the fact that this lineup is a fairly punchless lineup, struggles to score runs at times. I just can't understand why Farrell can't hit Betts third and move Bogaerts into the two hole or even leadoff. Bogaerts is hitting for no power this year whatsoever, but he's got a good average. You know, he's somebody that can get on base, you know, with a high on base percentage and all that. I just don't understand why you have your leadoff hitter that leads the team in RBIs, leads the team in home runs, leads in most of your offensive categories. It makes no sense whatsoever. You know, I can't wrap my head around it. I don't know what Farrell's doing.
So, Chris, you do realize, though, that it benefited them last night, right? Because by having him in the leadoff spot, Betts was up when with men on base and came through a couple of times last night.
Sure, yeah. In an isolated instance, it did help. But, I mean, I think if you took it over the course of a season, you know, you put him in a position where he has guys on base, you know, those home runs aren't solo shots. You know, those doubles aren't knocking in one run. They're knocking in two or three. So, you know, it just seems like a simple equation. You know, you put your best hitter, period, in the three hole.
Okay, so listen, you're not the only person to suggest this, okay, that they should move Betts down in the batting order. And look, I'm willing to try anything. I also think that generally, as a rule, batting orders are overrated. Ultimately, it comes down to the production of the hitters in your lineup. And you know what the bottom line is? Wherever Mookie Betts is, he's going to be pitched differently now. In fact, I think he was being pitched differently in the playoffs last year. I think they all were. I question the Red Sox ability, particularly the right-handed batters in this lineup, to hit breaking balls. I think if you throw him breaking balls, whether a curve or a slider, either one, depending on the guy, but you throw it over the outer half of the plate, Bogaerts and Betts get themselves out more often than not. So I think that that's what the big issue is. Bogaerts, you know how I feel about him. Betts, to me, his average dropped into the 260s before last night. And so Betts, to me, is just being stubborn. Betts recognizes the shortage of power on the team, and he's trying to provide it to a fault where 30 points are getting chopped off his batting average. So Betts is making himself a worse player, I think, because he's trying it too hard. Mookie Betts has the capability to shoot the ball the other way. He needs to do it more. Bogarts, I find way more frustrating than Betts, because Bogarts has the capacity to hit the ball out of the ballpark, and A, he's not doing it, and B, now his average is plummeting. So you're not getting anything out of him, and bad defense on top of it. I told you, barring a dramatic change, if I'm the Red Sox, I put Xander Bogarts on the market during the offseason. I see what I can get. I try to get myself a legitimate middle-of-the-order power bat, because Xander Bogarts, if he doesn't hit for power, I can find a light-hitting shortstop somewhere else. I can find one somewhere else. I'm going to get to a couple of other things when we come back. We'll get to Rafael Devers' performance. We'll get to the scouting report on Addison Reed. And I told you, other than Bogarts, there's another player on this team who deserves your scorn.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's going to be stretches in which players go through where a little bit of a breather can benefit them. I don't think this is physical where there's fatigue here. I just think there's been some stretches where, you know, attack plans against him have adjusted, have altered. So just, you know, we've got the benefit of inserting Brock in there and give him a breather. I would expect Benny to be back in the lineup tomorrow night.
Again, that's John Farrell. This time he's talking about Andrew Benintendi. I was half hoping he didn't say his name at the end of it. He said Benny, gave it away. I was going to ask you, who do you think he's talking about? He didn't benefit from a break. You know, sometimes guys get in a little bit of a rut. Teams start pitching them differently. There's a plan against them, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I didn't need the hint. Just reading about this kid, they've been sitting him down, I mean, for this consecutive night again, and they have Brock Holt in left field because they want to try to work on his swing or fix whatever the hell's going on with him, because there is an issue.
So he's out of the lineup again tonight.
Right.
Right? And that is really, you know, the fact that he wasn't in there last night should tell you plenty. Now he's not in there again tonight. The Indians are throwing another right-hander. This is two nights off in a row for Andrew Benintendi. And if I were to say to you, what is the perception of Benintendi's season? Like, would you say that he's been slumping recently, Murray? Is that what you'd say?
Well, we're now in August. I mean, most of the month of July, so that's not recent. I mean, it's been up and down, but mostly down for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Jimmy Stewart, would you say, same deal, 4 or 5 weeks, it's been something like that?
Yeah, it just feels like there's an issue somewhere. He's okay. A price sympathizer, obviously.
What if I told you that? So the Red Sox, I think tonight is their 108th game. Which means, and the reason why that's relevant is because that's exactly 2/3 of the season. Okay? What if I told you that in his last 68 games, which means chop off the first month, okay, that's about it, 6 weeks. In his last 68 games, Andrew Benintendi is hitting .223. .223. So, and I was surprised by this too, because I think there is this perception with Benintendi that he started off great, then he went really cold, then he got hot again. And the reality is, he's hit .220 for over 2 months, 2.5 months. Okay, .220. He's not cutting it, is the bottom line. Now, I don't know where the Red Sox turn. I suspect they're not going to turn anywhere. I mean, Brock Holt is in left field. Maybe this is their solution. And with Holt and Eduardo Nunez, they have some flexibility. So this is probably part of the reason why they made the moves they have. They can use Nunez in a lot of different spots, give Benintendi a blow. Pedroia is now on the DL. This is another one of my concerns with this team when you really look at them. Benintendi, small. Pedroia, small. Betts, small. Bradley, small. These guys will wear down over the course of a season. It's a game every day for 6 months. You get tired. You lose weight. You lose strength. You don't hold up. This is what Brock Holt's problem is. When you play Brock Holt full-time, he wears down. He can't hold up under the rigors of a full season. The Red Sox have a lot of these kinds of players. It's something to keep an eye on here in the month of September. And August, for that matter. And already you're seeing it. And in the case of Benintendi, he's playing a longer season now than he really ever has. And you could say that for some of the other guys on this team, too. Let's see what Devers looks like going down the stretch. And we'll get to more Devers later. But if you're sort of keeping an eye on different things and this team fading down the stretch? And last night should really not change the big picture for you. I told you, I look at this trade deadline, I look at the way things are going, and I would pick the Yankees today to win the American League East.
Yeah.
Just because the Red Sox won last night, that doesn't change my mind. What do you got, Mario?
No, I'm with you on that, too, based on the move that they made yesterday in picking up Sonny Gray. But in terms of Benintendi, like, what's your level of concern there? Because, you know, I mean, look, you covered the game. You know baseball's an adjustment game. It's a young player. He's proven it before that he's been able to get himself out of a slump. And July was ugly. But, you know, if they work with him here the next couple of days and he can show that he doesn't chase breaking balls as much as he has been, I'd like to think that he can get himself out of it.
Okay, I think this whole team has an issue with breaking balls. And with Benintendi, I think, you know, again, as you get later in the year here, I would pound him inside with fastballs. Because I think Benintendi, too, if you pitch him away, he can flick that ball off the wall. I think he can use Fenway to his advantage. But in this ballpark, I would pound him inside with fastballs. That's what I would do. And it feels to me like he's seeing more of that. I'll watch it a little more closely now to see if I can get a better read on it. But to me, some of these guys, I would just use the big pocket part of the ballpark against him at Fenway. I think that's it's a huge equalizer for some of these guys. Back to the phones, Chris in Connecticut.
My question is, so recently with Christian in the fourth outfielder.
All right, Chris, you know what? I got to let you go. I'm sorry. I can't make out what you're saying. It's not going to work. Jeremy's in Boston. Jeremy, what do you got?
Hey, how are you guys? How you doing tonight?
Good.
Good. Hey, listen, from a David Price perspective, from a leadership perspective, I absolutely love this story. Usually I'm listening to Spotify or music on the radio. You guys have me absolutely hooked. And I have to say that the Red Sox as an organization have no obligation to us as the fans to trot David Price out on the mound, knowing they know that we're going to boo him. Their obligation is the end of the season and what the record reflects. They know that we're going to boo him, and that does nothing to his brittle psyche, as you guys call it. So for them to put him on the DL and give him a pass on his start, if it is punishment, it's great. I had to laugh at Dombrowski's statement when he said, "Oh no, we need to go to the MLB executive offices and we need to show." We've all been to public school. Any one of us can go and pass a note signed from Epstein's mother saying, "Oh, he's going to miss school today." I'm fine with that. I love how they handled it. I think that there's an issue there with leadership. If David Price knew or thought that he was able to do that or act in that way, that's an issue. I think that's an issue that... Go ahead. Yep.
So, Jeremy, look, I'm going to let you go. To me, this isn't about what obligation the organization has to put Price out on the mound. I don't look at that way at all. But to me, what it tells me is that they think Price is so brittle. Forget about what we think. Okay, we read into things that aren't there over and over again. We do it constantly. Sometimes we're right. Most of the time we're wrong. But if they, in fact, believe that they had to scratch him from the start because he was going to be damaged from it, his psyche would be damaged, that tells you that think of what that says from their perception of him. This is the guy that they want to give the ball to in a big game. This is the guy. So forget what we say. And they have every right to do what's best for their team. But if they think that keeping the guy off the mound is best for their team, what does that say about him? What does it say about him? That's the point. Scott's in a car.
Hey, Tony. Thank you for raising this issue. My wife and I really appreciate it. We believe character matters, not for anything as far as a role model, but they're not going to hold up when the pressure gets there. But my main question is, where in the heck is Dennis Eck? Why am I watching Johnny Gomes? Can someone please shoot me if I have to watch Johnny Gomes again, please?
Okay, so Scott,
I want Eck back.
So Scott, you're going to get Eck back. He'll be back in the broadcast booth on Thursday night. He wasn't around over the weekend because he's part of the Cooperstown ceremonies for the Hall of Fame. As a Hall of Famer, Just to reemphasize, as a living Hall of Famer, Eck is invited back for the ceremonies every year. He was in Cooperstown over the weekend. Okay? Tonight, he will be in the Legends Suite at Fenway Park, and you see them show these guys up on the scoreboard constantly during the games. I think Fred Lynn was in there the other night. I was at the game Friday night. I think it was Fred Lynn. I had trouble seeing the scoreboard from where I was sitting. Candidly, I was up behind the plate, sitting in the high grandstand, so the overhang, I couldn't see the center field board. But I think it was Fred Lynn. Tonight, it's Eck. Thursday night, he's supposed to be back in the booth.
It'll be about the third inning, which By the way, that Chris Sale pitches will be about 7:40 tonight.
Quickly, Pete is in New Hampshire. Pete, what do you got?
Hey, I was calling about what you were talking about with Andrew Benintendi. Look, I think the kid's got a lot of potential, but you're right. I think he hit a wall. But we've got Brents down in Pawtucket who's having a pretty good year, and he's hitting for power. Why don't we send Benintendi down for a little while, see if he can find a swing again, and bring Brents up and see if he can do some good for a little bit?
Okay, so look, Pete, you ask an interesting question. My guess is they feel like they're going to need Benintendi and they need the lefty bat and they don't want to damage the kid's confidence. And so if they're taking a longer-term approach with it, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I don't know if sending him down is the right thing. Taking away a little bit of playing time and letting him get some rest and get his head right. And you know what? I'm not even sure it's about the head. The kid strikes me as having good character. I am actually, in this case, I'm concerned about the physical fatigue as much as I am the mental fatigue. He's probably not used to having this much difficulty hitting, so I don't doubt there's some frustration. But I also think in his case, again, just look at some of the guys on this roster. They're not big. It's a lot of games. A lot of games, a lot of travel. Guys wear down by the end of the year. The game is built that way. The game is built to wear you down. That's the whole point. And this is the real reason numbers went up in the steroid era, is because guys didn't get tired. They were every bit as strong in July, August, and September as they were in April and May. It wasn't totally about the bat speed. I mean, I'm not saying that hurt, because it didn't. That helped. But they didn't lose anything during the year either. I want to get to Rafael Devers. And if you listen to this show on Tuesdays, I should have mentioned this at the beginning. You know that Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports is here every Tuesday. This week he's not here. We'll explain to you why after Murray gets caught up on your headlines.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Again, if you listen to this show every Tuesday, you know that typically we have Jared Carabas in studio, Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports, but this week, no Jared. I meant to mention this at the beginning of the program, and honestly, I totally forgot because I've known for a couple of days, or suspected for a couple of days, that Jared wasn't going to be here. So the question is, why? Why is Jared Carabas not in studio this week as he is with us every Tuesday? Explain yourself, Jared, who joins us now by phone.
What's going on, Tony? I just got off, you know, the subway. I'm in this cesspool that is New York City. I use this term loosely, but it's my new home, which is unfortunate because I'd rather be in Boston talking about the Red Sox with you.
Okay, well, so explain to everybody why New York is now your home.
Well, so Barstool Sports headquarters is in New York City, and we've got a new MLB podcast / Facebook show with me and Dallas Braden. It's called Starting Nine. So we're going to be doing that starting next week. And the podcast debuts on Thursday. So, you know, in order to, I guess, do a better job of that, you know, I uprooted my life and off I go to New York City to have more of an expanded role doing some MLB coverage for Barstool Sports.
Okay, but obviously, once we get everything set up down there, you are still going to be on the program with us here every Tuesday night.
That is correct, yes. We have Jimmy Stewart working on that, so hopefully we get that fixed sooner rather than later.
Okay.
No pressure, Jimmy.
And the beauty, if you are a listener, is that Jared is going to sound like he's sitting right next to me. In fact, we may even go like next level kind of stuff and actually do a video, you know,
hologram type of thing.
Well, Skyping so that we can actually see each other and make eye contact while we're having the discussion. The show is
more intimate that way.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, as long as there are no delays, we shouldn't have any major problems. So just quickly, before we get to the Red Sox, because I still want to talk about the Red Sox with you, did I see on Twitter that you were already encountering some sort of travel snafus or something like that?
Oh, yeah, I missed my train this morning. That's just me being stupid. I'm not going to blame New York City for that one. But the last time that I did come to New York City, it took me about 5 minutes before I got a secondhand mace. There was like some homeless guy that was asleep at the bottom of the escalator and he wouldn't get up, so they maced him, and then the mace residue traveled up the stairs and into my nostrils, so I had to deal with that for the rest of the day. So today's been a good day. I haven't been maced.
Okay, well, there you go. That's just a wonderful experience here in the concrete jungle. So, okay, so look, let's get to the Red Sox. The trading deadline, obviously, yesterday, Jared. And so I want your take on the A, the Addison Reed pickup, and then B, the trade deadline as a whole. I said I asked Murray this last night. I asked Jimmy Stewart this last night. When you look at the deadline now and all the moves the Yankees have made and the Red Sox have or have not made, how do you feel about the division right now?
I think that, you know, the momentum has definitely shifted towards New York. And it's interesting because last year the Yankees won the trade deadline because of what they gave away. And they won the trade deadline again this year for what they acquired. And I think that with baseball fans, you sort of, we've been conditioned to pay attention to July 31st and what teams have done on that one specific date. But the Yankees have strategically made moves over the past couple of weeks here, and it all started with the Todd Frazier deal, pick up a couple of relievers, and, you know, they've added, you know, Sonny Gray, which, again, Yankee fans, they celebrated like it was the equivalent, the counter to Chris Sale. And Sonny Gray is a very good pitcher, not a great pitcher. I wouldn't put him in that class of Cy Young contenders right now, but it definitely makes it better than what they had. It makes their team better. Well, the Red Sox, I think, I guess with Red Sox fans, it's like they sort of see what the Yankees are doing over there, which they did a lot, and they did a lot to upgrade their team. And with the Red Sox, it's like, you know, they needed a third baseman. They went out and got one that can play third base. You can play shortstop. You can play second base. And you can hit, which is important because the offense had been scuffling for a little bit. And they needed a setup guy. And they weren't going to go out and get a Tyler Thornburg that's going to cost you Travis Shaw, who, you know, he's on pace at 40 home runs plus three other prospects. And, you know, Carson Smith, that cost you a 200-inning pitcher, starting pitcher. So with Addison Reed, you got a guy that can close, he can set up, and he has postseason experience, and he's a rental, so he has more incentive to do well before he hits the free agent market. So I like the Reed deal.
Okay, so look, I like the Reed deal too. But as of right now, if I were asking you today to bet on one team to win the American League East, who are you betting on?
I would probably say the Yankees.
Oh, there you go, Jared.
Yeah, I would probably say the Yankees. Things can certainly change. I'm not predicting that the Yankees will win the division. But if you go based on lineup, the Yankees have the advantage. If you go based on the bullpen, the Yankees have the advantage. But, yeah, and those are the two main factors there, especially when it comes to October baseball. But the starting pitching for the Red Sox is better than what the Yankees have. But the Yankees check more boxes. So they definitely have the upper hand right now. And that's not to say that the Red Sox can't outperform them. They're certainly a talented group, but that's why I keep going back to the fans that wanted to see a big bat at the trade deadline. I didn't agree with that. I think that the guys that you have in place in that Red Sox lineup right now, like, that's it. Like, those are the guys. Like, there wasn't really anywhere to upgrade besides third base, and there wasn't a whole lot out there. They weren't going to go trade for Giancarlo Stanton. There was no pipe dream trade coming down the line. It's just guys like Hanley, Bogaerts, even Mookie, I would loop into that. Benintendi, you have players that are more than capable of having better seasons than what they've had, and that's, you know, where you're sort of lacking on this team, is that guys are collectively underperforming. But to Dombrowski's credit, I think he realized that. He didn't panic and go out and make a move to sort of, you know, save the season or save the lineup. He sort of just plugged the holes that needed to be plugged, and if everyone performs the way that they're capable of, then you have more of a contest between the Red Sox and the Yankees, which is why I'm not predicting the Yankees to win the division. I just think that they certainly have the upper hand right now.
Okay, so Jared, look, I think Dombrowski's comments last night were a little bit of a cop-out. Like, you know, okay, the improvement has to come from within. It almost takes him off the hook. But you know what? That's a story for another day. Before we let you go, it's the first time I've had the chance to talk to you since they put David Price on the disabled list. So, again, before we let you go, just give me your latest assessment of the Price situation. Do you think it's over?
No, it's probably never going to be over until he's not in Boston anymore. It's just going to be one thing after another. I think he's made it perfectly clear that he doesn't really care to be liked anymore, obviously, by not coming out and just, even if he didn't mean it, you know, like, Ortiz had the best take on it ever. Just apologize and get it over with. The fact that he sort of tried to defend it, you know, he said, I wish I did it differently, but he didn't apologize or say that he wanted to apologize. That just means that he wants it to continue. So if he wants the drama, he's going to get it, and he's going to get everything that comes with it, which is obviously the bad press and just this dark cloud hanging over the team that I wish wasn't there if he would just shut up and pitch. But, you know, physically, that's the other element to this besides the Eckersley comment. You know, you see that he was throwing today at full strength, and it sort of makes you wonder if he could have started that game on Friday, which, again, I'm not – could he have started that game? I think the answer to that question is yes, but I also want to be cautious with him because, yes, he's been kind of an a-hole recently, and, yes, he could have pitched that game, but it's not the postseason. You know, if it is barking, and I do believe that there might have been some sort of, you know, irritation or whatever. That's not something that I want to mess with because you know, his postseason record is what it is. But that's the guy that you need to be healthy to get to the postseason, and you see what happens when you get there. So if you wanted to skip a couple starts and put him on the 10-day disabled list, I'm fine with that, as long as he's, you know, capable of being that David Price that he was against the Yankees. On that eight-inning shutout that he pitched.
All right, Jared, listen, we're going to let you go. You get settled in down there. Watch out for the rats at night.
Yeah, I'm going to try. There's size of dogs out here.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Jared Karabas, Barstool Sports, joining us via the AT&T Expert Hotline. Again, normally in studio on Tuesdays, but we're gonna hook him up down there. They're going to get him, you know, not that you care, but it's called an ISDN line. He's going to sound like he's sitting right next to me.
It's going to be a little bit of a transition is all.
He is. He's going to sound like he's sitting right next to me here every week. Okay, so Karabas will be back on the show, hopefully for the full hour next week. That's what our goal is.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz, 98.5.